show you don't want to miss.
The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big.
Think big.
It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
The start of the college football season is less than 2 weeks away, and as always, we are working so hard to get you ready. In fact, in our first segment today, we are going to head out to the SEC. We want to get some answers to a number of questions, especially when you talk about those Florida Gators. It is always a pleasure to welcome back one of the very best guys in the business. He's respected nationally as a sports writer. He is the host of the Buddy Martin Sports Page. It is a pleasure to have you back. Thanks for joining us, Buddy, this weekend.
Listen, nice to talk to you again. It's been a while.
It has been a while, and I'm looking so forward to this conversation because we want to know what's going on down there with the Gators, especially you guys have a new addition, a new offensive coordinator in Brent Pease.
Yes, Brent Pease is obviously, I think it was a great hire for Will Muschamp and a guy who proved himself at Boise State. The early reports are that his offense is balanced, that he has a good grip on the talent he's got on the offensive side of the ball, and he seems to be well-liked. However, let me just say right up front that a big blanket has been thrown over Gainesville, and we don't get to talk to players or coaches except when they're allowed to come out after practice occasionally and answer questions for 2 or 3 minutes. So the amount of information on this football team is probably the least I can remember since I've been covering Florida football more than 40 years. However, we're going to learn like everybody else does when they open the season here in a few weeks, and we'll find out what that's all about.
Well, some of the news that has come out, Buddy, that has been leaked out is, of course, Jeff Driskel has a minor shoulder surgery. He is one of the quarterbacks that is looking to get into that starting slot. Tell us a little bit about that, and what have you learned there?
Jeff Driskel, of course, any news is big news because, again, we don't get to cover practice.
Right.
And so, it sounds like Armageddon when it gets through the social media. And that turns out it wasn't that big a deal after all. Although he was injured, they were concerned about it. He's been released to go back to practice, and I think he's back in the hunt in terms of the battle with Jacoby Brissett, who is a true sophomore and a guy who is going to have to beat out if he wants a starting job. Right now, as far as we know, except for the injury to Driskel, it's pretty dead even in terms of the two quarterbacks, Brissett and Driskel, and we'll have to see who emerges, and I think that'll be decided probably when they play the games.
Yes, because what I've learned is equal opportunity for both these guys to try to win the job, Jacoby Brissett, Jeff Driskel. I understand they were very strong in the spring and in the spring game. What is your confidence level in these guys? And, Buddy, I mean, you've covered Florida Gator football for a long, long time. Are you leaning perhaps to one in particular?
I'm really not. I can tell you neither one of them are Tim Tebow. Of course, having said that, then there will be another Tim Tebow at the University of Florida. He's one of a kind. John Branley had a tough year following him last year. I like a little bit of what I see of both. I've seen a little more of Brissett because Brissett had to throw into the starting job last year when Branley got hurt against LSU as a true freshman. He showed a lot of poise, but totally not experienced. He had a different offensive coordinator now. Charlie Weiss is gone. Brent Pease is here. So we'll see how he fits the mold. He's more of a sort of a rollout quarterback and a passer, as opposed to Driskel, who's kind of a runner. He was really suited perfectly for Urban Meyer's offense, the spread option. And I know Urban was just drooling with the prospect of having Driskel run his offense. However, that's changed. So we'll see who adapts to that offense under Brent Pease, which one it's going to be. And right now, I just think they're dead even.
Of course, you were just mentioning the former head coach, Urban Meyer. Tell us a little bit about as far as Will Muschamp. He now enters as a head coach into his second season. Disappointing finish last year, 7-6, but I thought they got off to such a great start in the month of September. They won their first 4 games. How do you think, Buddy, he has matured as a coach over the past 9 months?
Well, that is a big question because there was some sideline antics last year by Will Muschamp, who was a first-year head coach, that really turned a lot of people off in terms of his temper tantrums. Now, look, this is the home of the old ball coach where he used to throw his visor around. But he did it a different way. And Muschamp got in the face of people and his officials. They finally had to resort to somebody kind of screening him out for the officials at the end of the year because he went so ballistic on people. And he does have an obvious anger management issue to deal with. I think that's been dealt with. I think you'll see I don't want to say a kinder, gentler Will Muschamp, but I think you'll see a little bit different Muschamp on the side. He's matured a little bit. But as some people said, University of Florida is not a place you can start out with training wheels. You need to be able to be a head coach. And I think Will had to step it up. We'll see if that translates into the more mature football team, more of a head football coach. And I think his staff changes for the most part have been good. I think he'll be able to prove that he is a really good defensive coordinator. Basically, is what he was promoted to a head coach. And I think we'll see the Brent Peace's offense will fold right into that. It's going to probably be more conservative, more balanced, to try to get more takeaways. They didn't get but 8 last year, and see if they can't win those close 21-17 games, which they're going to have to do if they're going to win in the SEC.
One of our dear friends of the show is dropping by, Buddy Martin. We know him well. He is the host of the Buddy Martin Sports Page. And, Buddy, let's pause and take time for all the listeners. We're out here in Big 12 Conference country. Tell all of them where they can go and find out more information on you online.
Well, if you want to listen to the show or watch the streaming live, it's on WOCA.com. And, of course, if any of you folks out there have any interest in reading a book about Urban Meyer, which I wrote several years ago called
yes.
Urban's Way, you can contact me at my email address. Just at buddyshow, one word, at AOL.com, and I'll see if I can dig one up for you.
Okay, Buddy, we already talked about the quarterback situation and what we know. What about as far as with the offensive line? You guys returned 4 of 5 starters on the offensive line this year.
I think the new coach, Davis, is going to be a real big difference there that now that Verducci's gone. If I had the great coaches, I would say that Verducci really was about a D-plus at best last year. I think that the offensive line has a lot of future, a lot of potential, and John Jalapio is the anchor, one of the guard positions. Their tackles are more experienced. I think pretty good. I think the offensive line has got to be better. How good, I don't know, because I don't really know who the running back's going to be just yet. We haven't figured that part out. There's running back by committee with 3 different guys, and so we haven't figured that part out. The most exciting part of the offense is probably going to be getting Andre DeBose, the guy who has really got some jets on his feet in the offense, if they can finally do that. And their tight end, Jordan Reed, who's played some quarterback last year and tight end with Muschamp, and also the year before with Urban Meyer. So I think that offensively, that's the biggest question mark. Defensively, they're going to be very good. But the question mark is Brent Peace's offense, what pieces he'll have in there, who's going to run the football, you know, and whether this offensive line can really get in there and get the big push for the running game.
Okay, so, Buddy, you said defensively, though, that they are going to be good. Who do you tip your hat to, and who do you look forward to making some big plays out there?
Well, the real buzz is, in addition to their linebackers, I think the best player on defense is a guy named Matt Elam. You'll hear his name a lot. He makes a lot of tackles.
Okay.
He's good in coverage. He's a guy I think that will be probably the leader of that defense.
Buddy Martin with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. As promised, we are talking and getting you ready for the start of the college football season. I can't believe it is less than 2 weeks away. And, you know, the SEC, the complexion has certainly changed, the addition of Missouri and now Texas A&M. In fact, you guys are going to be heading to College Station. Buddy, are you going to make that road trip on the second game of the season?
I'm having a little difficulty with the fact that Florida opens its SEC season in College Station.
Yeah.
It doesn't compute somehow or the other. I haven't decided whether I'm going to make that trip or not, but certainly it's a big thing for Texas A&M. They love the SEC out there, of course, and I think that they'll be a member of the conference. But I'm kind of old school. I told somebody yesterday I'm going to get to the idea that South Carolina and Arkansas came in the SEC.
Yeah.
Now we got Missouri and Texas A&M, but yeah, that'll be a big game for sure.
So, okay, we hit on Texas A&M. Now, of course, Missouri, they will be at your guys' home field. So what are your thoughts about the addition of Missouri? I mean, there's a lot of challenges with all the new landscape and the travel and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's something that's all new. I mean, Gator fans who travel with this team, they travel a lot. They know all about all the SEC venues and what it's like and what the best road trips are. They don't know what it's like in Columbia, Missouri, or College Station, Bryan, Texas. So they're going to find that part out. And they'll find out about Missouri next year. They'll find out about College Station this year. Certainly, College Station has got a great venue in terms of their spirit and their 12th man and whatever. Missouri is a good athletic conference, athletic school program. They've been around for a while. And Steve Spurrier remembers them quite well for his day because he actually lost a Sugar Bowl game to them back in the day. So I think Missouri will be an excellent program. Basketball-wise, also, very strong, and I think that's another thing they pick up on in terms of the basketball play in the SEC is getting this team like Missouri in there.
Absolutely. Texas A&M, Missouri, a daunting task competing in the SEC. My final question for you, Buddy, so much of a hangover with the Penn State scandal and situation as that's unfolded, and you have covered college football for many, many years. Did you ever see anything like this?
This has been a really crazy year. And I talked with a couple of friends of mine on the national media on my show this week about it. And you know, Penn State was there's nothing like that that's ever been, and nor ever will be. It's just it just pushes so many of your buttons, and it's obviously it was an absolute travesty, and one that brought down the winningest coach of all time in college football. There are other issues out there. You have the situation defections or players getting kicked off, like Donnie Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, who is a terrific player. Don't forget, Alyssa, he was a Heisman Trophy finalist last year.
Yes.
When's the last time a Heisman Trophy finalist got kicked off the team the following year? And then you got a situation like Greg Reed of Florida State, the running back Dyer at Auburn, all kicked off and going to smaller schools. So obviously there's been some changes in that regard, some talent-wise, a talent drain. So, and who knows what this year's story is going to be. There's still a lot more things to go. I'm ready to kick it off. Let's talk about some football on the field.
Absolutely, because we didn't even hit the fiasco that happened with Arkansas in the offseason, too. So John L. Smith, he's got his hands full there.
Certainly does.
Buddy Martin has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. You definitely want to check him out online. He is the host of the Buddy Martin Sports page, and you just keep going strong. Are you ever going to retire?
What's that mean? Never heard that word before.
Is that what your wife says to you?
No, she wants me to, but she knows better.
Oh, you love it. You absolutely do. Well, listen, buddy, blessings, and we will catch up with you again real soon. Thanks for dropping by.
My pleasure, Lisa. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Bob Berry Jr., we're headed to Oklahoma City to talk some Sooner and Cowboy football. We'll be right back. Hi, folks. Elissa Walker-Campbell here to tell you about our good friends at Mercer Well Service, who pride themselves on integrity, leadership, and complete customer satisfaction in the oil and gas industry. They truly understand what it takes to be successful. In fact, they've been providing outstanding completion and workover rig services for over 50 years. One of the key components and reasons that they have been able to have such longevity is their exceptional staff and experienced personnel to assist you 24 hours, 7 days a week. Mercer Well Service also provides a full line of completion and workover rig services that include 158 rigs and have 25 swab units. Did you know that Mercer Well Service yard locations include Cleburne, Jacksboro, Kilgore, Whitesboro, and Sweetwater, Texas, among many others? And they are equipped with mud pumps, mud tanks, hydraulic catwalks, pipe racks, and rig supervisors. Why not give them a call today at 940-668-5147. Mercer Well Service. Call them at 940-668-5147.
Elissa Walker-Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Okay, Elissa Walker-Campbell back with you this weekend as the college football conversation, it does roll on. In our first segment, we have already hit on the SEC. It is now time to shift our focus to the Sooner State. We want to get the pulse on the Sooners and the Cowboys. And last time Bob Berry Jr. was on our show, hey, we were talking about his Oklahoma City Thunder, how they were in the NBA Finals, and now we've got the 2012 college football season countdown underway. What season is this for you, Bob? How many years have you been covering Oklahoma?
Oh, Elissa, that's not important. It's been a while. Let's put it this way. I'll tell you this. Notre Dame is getting ready to play at Oklahoma this fall,
yes.
October 27th. And I was at the last Notre Dame game at Oklahoma in the fall of 1966, if that tells you anything. I remember that game like it was yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you've got all those kids in college, so you're working hard to pay all that tuition. That's what keeps you rolling on, doesn't it, Bobby?
That's it. I was going to come down and drive you to your next assignment. I will work for cash, for tuition, so whatever you need me to do.
There you go. Okay, well, let's talk about the Sooners right now. Fourth in the preseason polls, and once again, they just always seem to, you know, be at the top. They're everyone's favorite. Landry Jones, he's only four victories away from becoming the winningest quarterback in Oklahoma history. And I'm going to get right to it. I don't mess around, Bobby. I mean, is this the year for Oklahoma that they're going to win the national championship?
In a word, no. To be honest with you, Alyssa, I think they're highly overrated going into the season. And I like the Sooners. It's just that I think the Big 12 is wide, wide open. I think there are five or six teams that can win the Big 12 race this year. And that includes the newcomers, West Virginia and TCU. I don't know why Oklahoma is rated as high as they are. I understand they have some people back. Obviously, Landry Jones is a great returnee for the Sooners. That's the best news. Is to not have any issues at quarterback. I know he's actually very deep behind him. They have Drew Allen, Blake Bell, and Kendall Thompson. I mean, four guys that could play if need be. headed by a guy who's passed for 12,400 yards and 93 touchdowns. So that's great, but they have no running backs of note. Dominic Whaley was their leading rusher a year ago, went out with a serious knee injury, had surgery. Nobody's seen or heard from him since the Kansas State game last year. They say his rehab has gone well. They say he should be back strong and ready to go, but we don't know that. They have no receivers to speak of. A couple of them were booted and then reinstated and then ejected and then reinstated. It's hard to keep up with the Jazz Reynolds and Trey Franks issue that's been going on down there, but now they're supposedly back on the team and yet not back on active duty in terms of on the roster. So you have Kenny Stills, the only guy down there that has caught a pass from Landry Jones in the past few years. Other than that, it's a bunch of newcomers who have potential and promise, but where's that gotten Texas, for example, the last few years? Nowhere. So, and then defensively, Mike Stoops comes back, you know, after being away 7 years as head coach at Arizona. So you wonder about their defensive ability. They gave up a ton of yards, gave up 43 points a loss in all three of their losses combined last year. So I have more question marks than answers with OU, to be honest with you, Alyssa. So if I were to rank and put out a poll, which I don't think should ever happen before October every season because we don't know, everybody's going on last year's results, I would have Oklahoma at the bottom of my top 25 to start the season.
Wow. Well, Oklahoma, as you had just mentioned, they had to deal with some adversity in the offseason, the four Sooner football players being suspended. You just rattled off Jazz Reynolds, Trey Franks. But the Oklahoma did get some good news. I mean, the fact Penn State transfer Justin Brown, he's continued to earn some real praise from head coach Bob Stoops. He's been a part of a big-time program for 3 years. He's played against big-time players in the Big Ten Conference. What's your assessment there, Bobby?
Well, again, it's another question mark or void that you hope is filled with a really good player. I mean, Coach Stoops has been very high in his praise of Justin Brown. He said, here's a guy who's already produced for 3 years in a big-time league in the Big Ten, and I guess what Justin Brown impressed them the most by was his punt-returning ability. Bob Stoops said he absolutely will be the guy that returns punts for the Sooners starting off. He's big. He has all the size. He's caught 73 footballs, I think, in his Penn State career, so it's exciting news. And again, if that happens, that will be great news for Landry Jones to compliment Kenny Stills and give somebody a proven guy that can catch passes and has done so on a high level in Division I. So that's exciting. And again, if all of these things happen, I mean, Trey Matuire is another receiver, Alyssa, that drew so much attention 2 years ago. He didn't qualify, so he had to go to a prep school in Virginia. Now he's back. He was fabulous in the spring. I saw him in the red-white game. He was really, really good. I mean, opened everybody's eyes. So if he performs like we think he can, if Sterling Shepard, the true freshman son of former OU star Derek Shepard, performs like he has in camp and turns into a really good receiver, they could be very good. And so there's a lot of ifs, shoulds, coulds, we'll see. And that might amount to them making a national title run. But it could also lead to another 10-3, 9-4 type season if things go the other way.
Yes, you know, a lot of uncertainty, but a lot of folks are hoping that Landry Jones, because you just mentioned him, that he will have a bounce-back season. What are the Sooner fans? I mean, do they underappreciate him? There's been some articles about that as far as that he isn't appreciated and rewarded enough for so many of the things that he has done during his time in Norman.
Well, I'm really critical of anybody that comes down hard on Landry Jones. I mean, the guy has been phenomenal. Has he had some bad games? Yes. He had a 5-interception game I was at against Nebraska several years ago when the Huskers were still in the Big 12. But he's also had some wonderful games. And, in fact, one of his best games of his career was in El Paso in the Sun Bowl against Stanford a few years ago. And that's where OU opens up this year in that Sun Bowl stadium against Texas El Paso 2 weeks from Saturday. So I think Landry Jones is rock solid. Now, people say, well, he didn't do much last year. Well, after Ryan Broyles got hurt, well, again, think about that statement. Yeah, after Ryan Broyles, the all-time leading receiver in the NCAA, got hurt. Yeah, how about that? His production went down. So, and you've got to put it on some other people, too, for not performing at a high level. But for the most part, Landry Jones is rock solid. He's done about everything he can do. I would like to see the kid, for his own sake, because of all the hard work he's put in, go out with a bang, and I think he probably will. But, again, he's got to work on timing. He's got to work with receivers he's unfamiliar with. And he's got to get some kind of run game, you know, to help balance that offense a little bit. I expect if that happens, he'll be a Heisman Trophy contender.
Well, I appreciate his heart, you know, his willingness to do whatever is necessary to take his game to the next level. As we understand, he spent time in the offseason with the private quarterback coach, George Whitfield, and he's really tightened up his mechanics. I mean, have you heard anything as far as in camp, how he looks in terms of his execution?
They all just love everything about it. It's my opinion, and not the coaches, but it's my opinion that the Sooner coaches weren't too fired up about that trip out west to see the quarterback guru, George Whitfield, and yet,
really?
If it improves his play, then so be it. You know, it'll be good. Well, I mean, you know, I think it's human nature. Coaches, college coaches feel like, hey, you're getting good coaching here. Josh Heupel, a Heisman Trophy runner-up, is your quarterback coach. And so, and he knows technique, and he knows fundamentals, and he knows the spread offense. So I'm not saying they were totally opposed to it, but I think they were taken aback by it. I think they were surprised that Landry made that trip out west. Again, that's just my opinion and what I've heard. But if he comes out, he's bigger, he's stronger, he knows the system, he can run the plays in his sleep. So you're just not going to have a problem at quarterback. And I bristle when I hear Sooner fans talk about, well, if Landry Jones was playing better this year against Texas Tech, I'm like, the defense got shredded that night.
They did.
The defense gave up 616 yards against Baylor, and that same Landry Jones that people criticized brought OU from two touchdowns back to tie the game in the fourth quarter that night. It just so happened the Heisman Trophy winner, Robert Griffin, took his team 80 yards against a defense that had been shredded all night long and won the game late. So I think Landry gets far too much criticism for his career at Oklahoma, and I hope it works out for him. I think when you marry an OU women's basketball player, that even makes you better.
It makes your stock rise.
You should know that. So now that he's married to Whitney Hand, one of Kerry Cole's best OU women's basketball players, that's going to make him even better this season. You watch.
You are listening to the voice of Bob Berry Jr. from the Sports Animal out of Oklahoma City. He also is on KFOR television. And let's talk about this defense. You just hit on that. And, of course, the former defensive coordinator, Brent Venables, he's gone on to Clemson. I mean, what can we anticipate? I mean, is there anything sure in regards to Mike Stoops being back on board?
Well, we just, you know, if you're a Sooner fan, you just hope that Mike Stoops brings that fire and that swagger and that physicality back. That's, in my mind, the most glaring deficiency this defense has had for the last several years. They aren't very intimidating. They aren't very physical, and they've played like it. And they've given up huge chunk plays, those plays of 30 yards or more. They gave up a ton of them last year. So if Mike Stoops can just develop that, get that back into this defense, you know, when he was here the first time from the years 2000 when they won the national title through 2003, they were ranked in the top 10 in defense all of those years in yards allowed and points allowed. So, and then last year they were 53rd, and I think the year before that 55th overall. So he's got to get those intimidating guys, those physical guys, those guys that are willing to mix it up and sell out and stop people, especially in this high-powered Big 12 offensively. So I don't think Oklahoma's going to be the best defense in the country by any means, but you've got to think they'll be improved just because of the way Mike Stoops is going to try and simplify things and tell guys to go out and play football instead of throwing a jillion schemes and alignments at them. And then he brought in a guy, you know, Tim Kish, who was with him all of his years at Arizona, and Tim's been in the business 30-something years. He's going to be one of the new OU assistants on defense, coaching the linebackers. So these guys are just trying to make the Sooner defenders tougher, more physical, and simplify things to where they'll be out and be able to go play and not think about it and worry about it all the time.
Head coach Bob Stoops entering into his 14th season at Oklahoma, last year 10-3. My final question for you, Bobby, is do you like the layout of the schedule? You mentioned that they're on the road. They start at UTEP.
I do. I think it'll be very tough at the end. And the last three games are the two newcomers to the league and Oklahoma State sandwiched in there with a Bedlam battle. And, of course, the Cowboys just destroyed Oklahoma last year, 44-10 or whatever it was in Stillwater and what was essentially the Big 12 championship game. And you've got West Virginia before Oklahoma State this year and then in Fort Worth to close the regular season against TCU. So if the Sooners can make it through, I think that Notre Dame game, October 27th, will be very interesting because I think Brian Kelly will have Notre Dame playing a lot better this year. That could be of significance nationally when those teams get together. And then OU has those three tough conference games. So it's an early start is key. Take care of Texas in the annual Red River Shootout in mid-October. Then that gets you rolling into those early conference games, which Oklahoma should win, then beat Notre Dame. And then you've got something the last 3 weeks of the season to see how it all shakes out in the Big 12.
We are flat out of time. We'll talk about the Oklahoma State Cowboys when you drop by next time. Bob, thanks so much. And safe travels. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, Elissa.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead with Jason Peter and our Under the Helmet segment. Stay close.